All right. Well, the clock that I have says 6 o'clock, so we'll get rolling. So we have plenty of time to do everything that we have planned for the night. And I'm going to read for us from Nehemiah chapter 9. I'm going to read, the first 8 verses. Now on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and in sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it, they made confession and worshiped the Lord their God. On the stairs of the Levites stood Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Buni, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chenani, and they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashbabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pasahiah said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." I'm going to stop there. And it goes on for the next 30 verses of the Israelites recounting God's mighty acts in history, in redemptive history, and how He delivered them despite their rebellion and disobedience. And it captures an important moment in the life of God's people as they are assembled before the Lord. And it says here they stood for one quarter of the day and had the book of the law of the Lord read to them. And for another quarter of the day, they made confession and worshiped the Lord together. That's a robust worship service, isn't it? It was this significant response to the Word of God. And what we're looking at tonight is the idea of confessing our sin. Now, in this particular context, we see the Israelites do just that, but it's important to understand the context in which this is happening. It says it's the 24th of the month. And they're talking about the 7th month of the Jewish calendar, which we read in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 23, Numbers 29. The 7th month was the month where the people of God celebrated the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Booths. But the 24th of the month would have been after these feasts, after these celebrations. And we see, as we read here in verse 1, that they assembled before the Lord with fasting and in sackcloth. And it ought to strike us how perhaps odd that might be. After 3 weeks of celebrating, of sitting under the teaching of God's Word, now they're standing and giving expression of mourning and repentance. And really, it ought not to be that odd to us to consider what is happening here, that as they considered God's faithfulness, God's redemptive work, His holy character, His mighty acts, they now would respond in this way. Why? Because the truth of God that they had celebrated and heard over the 3 weeks had borne its imprint on their hearts. Right? They heard the truth of God. They considered who God was or is. And then they remembered who they are as well. And they are convicted. They're cut to the quick. They're confronted with their own sin and unfaithfulness before the Lord. Their neglect of living and worshiping according to God's design. It is a proper response to these things, isn't it? That hearing and believing the truth by the power of the Spirit leads God's people to repentance and faith. That is what we see illustrated in this passage, and that is something that ought to be true in our own hearts, in our own lives, that truth, the truth of God, leads us to confession and repentance. And really, that's the first point from this passage. But it begs the question for us, doesn't it? When we encounter the truth, right, when we sit under the teaching of God's Word every week, does it lead us to repentance, or does it lead us to self-righteousness? Does it lead us to confess our sin before the Lord, or does it lead us to point out the faults of others? And what we see expressed here in this passage is that a heart that is regenerated and in which God is at work responds to the Word of God, the truth of God, with repentance. A right posture toward our own sin and toward God, looking to Him in Christ by faith. So that's the first truth we see here, that truth leads to confession. The second is that confession is good for the soul. John Calvin is quoted as saying this. He's that the right, and he's speaking about prayer, the right and proper order of prayer, therefore, as I have said, is to ask at the very outset that God would pardon our sins, in order, therefore, that God may be mindful of His mercy toward us. It is necessary that He forget our sins. When God casts our sins into oblivion, this leads Him to behold us with fatherly regard. Calvin emphasized the priority of confession and repentance among God's people. And if you're familiar with the Geneva Liturgy, which was not just the Geneva Liturgy, the Strasbourg Liturgy, and other reformers as well, that it began with, after the call to worship, confession of sin. In other words, understanding as that as God calls His people into worship, we are confronted immediately with our own worthiness in and of ourselves and our need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, to confess our sin and to hear once again that glorious promise of the gospel, that it is only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ that we can enter into His presence. It is only because we are robed in the righteousness of Christ that we can gather before our good and holy and loving God. And so Calvin emphasized this by calling the congregation to worship and then immediately entering into a time of confessing their sins together, and of course hearing the assurance of pardon, the promise of the gospel. And of course, it's an important part in our own worship. It's why we confess our sin corporately together when we gather for worship. But it's important for us, too, to be reminded of who we are, what God has done for us in Christ, and to be reminded that we are forgiven through Jesus Christ. Right? As the Apostle John writes in 1 John 1:8 and 9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so confession, brothers and sisters, is good for the soul. as it reminds us, it brings us once again to the foot of the cross, and we are reminded of our need once again to trust in Jesus Christ alone. And so as we gather tonight, we want to be reminded of this truth once again, the greatness of God, our own unworthiness in and of ourselves, and our acceptance through the worthiness of Jesus Christ, the faithful and finished work of Christ, which He gives to us by grace through faith alone. Well, let us enter now into a time of prayer, and why don't we begin with a time of confessing our sin and praising God for who He is.